There you go, everybody. Welcome to the John Curley, Sherry Ellinger Show. The little thing we call newstainment, a combination of news and entertainment. I think I got it right that time, Andrew. Did I not? Yes, I did. Thank you. Bang! Here comes Sherry. Pretty girl. But not kids. Yeah, that's right. All righty, here we go, you thing of beauty.
Yeah, I was going to say, boy, that just paints a glamorous picture of me. I'm not sure if I could even draw a picture of that beast.
Oh, we'll have AI do that one. Diving
in. Okay.
Oh, I love this. I love it. I love the fact that lawmakers are thinking about proposing felony charges for the SeaTac protesters. So it was a couple weeks ago. We had the guys go in the city council meeting and bang on the windows and scream and yell and stuff. And we were told that they were going to be arrested. I don't know if they actually were charged. They might have brought him in and dumped him back out again, but who knows? But they're thinking maybe we should do felony against protesters. So this is Cuomo's got the story. So these are the people that were blocking the folks
right
trying to get into
SeaTac. Right in the middle of peak travel time, pro-Palestinian protesters used their bodies and cars to block the expressway to SeaTac Airport. So intense and frantic, travelers walked to the terminal instead. 3 hours of this has led to this.
Protesters, be aware. We support your First Amendment freedom of speech rights. We do not support you interrupting the lives and safety of your fellow citizens.
Republican Representative Spencer Hutchins has renewed his call for a new law, one that would make intentionally obstructing a freeway a felony. He and other lawmakers tried to get it passed after a similar protest on I-5 in Seattle in January. That legislation got no traction.
But I'm like, councilman or legislator, wherever you are, not a freeway, any road, not just I-5, any road. You're blocking the road. You're allowed to protest in the state of Washington. We do have laws. They're not enforced, but on sidewalks and stuff. But you can't be on the road unless you have a permit. You want to march down Westlake, come down Piker Pine, get a permit. You don't have a permit, you can't, you get arrested. You have laws, but they're only as good as the enforcement of the laws. So it can't just be a freeway. It has to also just be obstructing, blocking traffic without a permit. Swift. It must be swift and just as the law reaches in and grabs you by your Birkenstocks and your pajamas. And
put some more teeth in the law to say this behavior, these actions are unlawful. We will make it a felony.
What kind of penalties are we talking about?
We're talking about fines of anywhere from $1,000 to $6,000 or $10,000, depending on whether you are a follower or a leader. Jail time, 60 days, up to 60 days in jail.
The airport protesters are charged with misdemeanors, a max of 90 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. The I-5 protesters have yet to be charged, but they are facing possible gross misdemeanor charges.
It needs to be impactful to prevent it from happening again. If it were a felony, maybe it would make people think twice.
Robert Stonecipher travels all the time for business.
It's highly inconvenient every time we have these protests. It's dangerous.
In July of 2020, Summer Taylor was killed filming a Black Lives Matter protest on I-5. Adam Sheep is traveling too. He doesn't think changing the law will make a difference.
Yeah, I see it all the time. But I mean, it's like everybody keeps getting away with everything.
My free speech rights can't stop you from traveling.
Expect House Bill 2358 to be renamed and reintroduced, but that's going to be in the next session, and that'll take some time. The next session scheduled for January. Reporting live at SeaTac, I'm Michelle Esteban, Cuomo News.
Okay, so Australia passed the law April 2022, 2 years in jail and $15,000 fine. And it's the strangest thing. People are like, well, if you don't, you have a law, but you don't enforce the law, then you have a problem, right? So, and you can see that, like, for instance, when we did the, you're not allowed to police are not allowed to pursue. Well, we had higher number of people killed in car accidents went from like 535 average to like 750. And then also you saw police just out, people outrunning the police or leaving the police, more than 3,000 cases of that. Prior to that, they didn't even keep track. They thought it was like 191 a year. So if you allow people to do something, they will do it. And this is what you get. So if you get in there and you start whacking these people, imagine going in for 2 years. So you're out there marching around and then they grab you. They fine you $15,000 and now you're in jail, right? You go to prison. If that would, people would think twice if all of a sudden they were going to go to some hard time. Yeah, they wouldn't have somebody like Sherry in there looking after them. 2 years in prison, maybe straighten them out.
24 flights were delayed during that time.
Oh,
with
you know why? Because Sherry, they don't. They I'm going to make a big sweeping generalization because I'm doing talk radio, and you can do that. I was reading about Gen Z folks. They don't see work to them is optional. It's about like work-life balance. And work's not that important. And sort of the structure of our society, they crap on. So the fact that you're going to miss a flight really doesn't mean anything to them because what? You're going to be late for work? Well, who cares about work? And who cares about you going somewhere? It's really more important about how I feel. How do I feel? And do you understand? I am really upset. So therefore, I can inconvenience you from catching a flight or getting to work or whatever else it is, because it's more about my feelings, and your feelings or your facts don't matter to me because I'm offended. So this is what you get.
Yeah, in Australia, these two people, it was a climate change issue, and they blocked a bridge, and it was about for 2 hours, and they got sentenced to 21 days. So they went back to court saying, oh, that's too harsh. Please, 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 can you make it less? And the judge said, okay, how about this?
I thought they might have Australian accents. I thought they'd have Australian accents.
I can't do it. You want to do it?
Okay. So, no, I can't.
Okay. the judge said, okay, we won't do 21 days. We'll do 2 months and increase the sentence. And I just don't think that's possible in Seattle. I don't think they're going to enforce it. I think it's just a thing where people get too hung up on offending someone or appearing to be on the wrong side of the cause, and so they're not going to do it.
Or you could have anti-Semitic judges and anti-Semitic defense attorneys that, you know, deep down, they kind of like, I'm sympathetic to the cause.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe I'll kind of let them slide. Here's an example of, so DUI. So DUI in Salt Lake in Utah, they decided they had too many DUI fatalities. So they decided they would jack up the charges and the sentencing. And then they also brought it up from 0.08 for alcohol in bloodstream. And they went down to 0.05, right? So they made it they catch you if you're drinking. They lower the level for blood alcohol to 0.05. And what they ended up doing was they ended up reducing the number of drunk drivers and reduced the percentage of people being killed from drunk drivers and drunk drivers dying. So they enforced the law. They made it much stricter. And then they also made violators. They widened how they money people they could catch. And they find that are sort of loosey-goosey on DUI stuff have more deaths and have more drunk drivers. And if you restrict, you actually reduce. So it's the same thing. You can apply it across the board. If you have a law that really has teeth and you enforce the law, people will be less likely to behave in a particular way that will cause them to have 2 years of their arse in jail and $15,000 coming out of mom and dad's bank account. If you're not risking anything, just lay there in the road. It gives you something to do. So this is classic. But again, the guy says you got to have some teeth. Well, you got to take the muzzle off of the animal with the teeth and have it bite down hard on someone's private parts that are laying out there on the road.
I also think they've got bragging rights if they get arrested and then they get released. They can say they got arrested and made a sacrifice for the cause. If it's brief, right? I mean, if they just get checked in and checked out, but they can say that that's what they did. They went and got arrested for that. So I think that gives them some sort of clout beyond just the regular protester.
It's true. There's also like a protest culture, and I've known people involved in it going back to the Occupy Wall Street protests.
Oh, yeah.
And it does not matter the cause. And I would say this is probably 60% or more, especially locally, that are just whatever it is, we're out there, we're going to be, you know, laying in the streets no matter what the cause is. We have no affiliation whatsoever, but this is what we do. Like, this is our hobby, basically. And they know that they're not going to face any consequences. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a scene in the Wild Ones, I think it was, with Marlon Brando, and somebody said, they were like a 50s motorcycle gang. They said, what are you rebelling against? And he said, what do you got? Man. right. That's what that was. I'll tell you what I'm rebelling against is the Everett City Council. It's silly about these barista laws. Oh my God, I've listened to this story. What? Go ahead, Sherry.
No, with
your
all
three
the things
nipples,
going
go
on.
Ahead.
No. I know. I wouldn't qualify because of that, although I did have one removed. I don't think, I just can't believe they spent that much time on this. But go ahead. I know. We have some.
Vice President Zarlingo?
Yes.
Everett City Council unanimously voting to make changes to Bikini Barista's dress code after years of back and forth.
You know what? The dress code needs to be there. I'm good. I'm glad it's there.
Not what you thought you'd hear from Bikini Barista coffee stand owner Giovanna Edge after she sued the city of Everett in 2017 after they asked baristas to cover up. However, she says being in the business for more than a decade, she's seen how ugly things.
Now, let me say something. You're going to hear something from barista, and she's going to talk about expressing herself because they said, well, these clothes, it's a form of expression. It's a form of art. It's sort of, it's not, it's important. I mean, using the, what I'm wearing, hardly anything, is to express myself, right? It's part of the performance of making
the performance
There's
of making
so
coffee.
Many bikini stands. And because there are so many, you have all of these stands competing with each other.
Oh, I see. Who's making the best crappy coffee with the girl? Is it the one that has like a thong on? Is it the thong coffee? Is it the woman that's got like a one piece on? Yeah. So each one of them is competing to see who's got the hotter girls because it ain't about the coffee. So this woman's like, hey, let's try to have everybody wear the same thing so that you can have one that's got showing more skin than another. So she just wants to sort of flatten all of that
out. Right.
You want to, like, who's going to do the most for what?
Complaints about little to no clothing, employees exposing themselves, and lewd acts go way back to 2009. Everett police reportedly received more than 40 complaints about Bikini Barista stands in that year alone. Undercover officers say they were offered specials.
Bikini baristas are not sex workers. They get a paycheck. They're paid minimum wage to make coffee in their underwear. Good luck.
Well,
there's a Mennonite stand that I like to go to down here in Glee Ellum. It's nice. It's right next to the Amish stand. And not a lot of skin, but you know, good coffee.
They're sure, not sex workers.
What do you guys got going on today?
Honestly, I love this job because I'm able to wear what I want to wear.
Where is that one?
We like doing what we do. Nobody is forcing any of the girls to wear less. We all wear what we're comfortable wearing.
It is kind of how we express ourselves, you know, every day.
Baristas felt they were targeted. In 2022, federal courts agreed with them, and they were allowed to once again wear what they were comfortable with. Until now. The ordinance calls for baristas to cover up minimum body areas. Clothes cannot be see-through, and body areas must remain covered while they stand, bend, reach, or do other work duties.
And if you send me something, and if you show up wearing something that you're not supposed to wear to work, I'm going to send you home.
All right. Put a hairnet on all of them.
Yeah. So she says we get to wear what we want to wear. Okay, what if it was burlap bag day and you just decided I don't feel like getting in a bikini? Are you allowed to not wear a bikini?
I mean, there's a certain you don't want to make any money that day? Sherry?
Yeah, but let's say you just weren't into it that day. And you're like, eh. I'm going for the yoga pants. Would they send you home then?
No, you could probably wear what you want, but you, it certainly affect your tips because these girls are making coffee in their in a bikini. Yeah, in their underwear.
Well, good for them.
It's so silly. You should have seen it like 3 years ago. Remember all the rules? Like the anal cleft, that you weren't allowed to show this and show that, explaining it all. Oh, God.
Wasn't there also an undercover operation where they went had undercover people go around, which thankfully there's so many police officers that they spent some time on this.
Yes.
That and the girls were accused, some of them, of offering some favors.
Yes, they would ask to see, you know, hey, could you flash something for me for another 10, 15 bucks or something like that. I wonder how many of them report their taxes. That's the other thing, right? You're getting paid cash on this stuff. They wouldn't go investigate that.
How would they how would they sort of label that? 40 bucks this month for four flashes?
I don't know. It's such a fine line. It's like, okay, well, that's indecent, but that's not, right?
Yeah.
The guys that are getting the coffee, you got a choice between going to some coffee place and going there. You're going to go to the one where the guys like the look of women in their underwear. Bang, that's it. That's all there is to it. And then you're going to give me some coffee. They don't care about the coffee. And the girls realize, oh, if I wear a bikini and I look hot, I'm going to make more money. So they're paying not for the coffee. They're paying to get, you know, paying to get ogled and googled at and you know, undressed with their eyes.
And oogles.
So, oogles, that's what I meant. Oogling. Oogling and ogling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And googling.
I went in there once. I was Daryl, and he got going to coffee so bad. Okay. You know what, Joe? Yes. It does feel weird. It's like you do feel like a just like such a perv on that stuff. I don't know. Guys, like, who cares? Here's $10. I'll look at the girl in her underwear. Here's a cup of coffee. It just makes you feel like
it just. But also, you know, this is probably the busiest time is in the morning. Like I see, you know, after a couple of drinks or whatever you want to go in, but you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, you have to go and see somebody in a bikini.
24 hours a day, Sherry.
Okay. All right.
The answer is yes.
Oh well, you Maggie would. Teeny. Yes.
Oh my God! Look at Teeny. Oh, look at Teeny's wearing. Oh Lord, Sherry.
I do have my dress on backwards.
Oh.
I see that.
That's just as fresh as can be. We've never heard that. Yes.
Maybe some of that higher unemployment might be also somewhat attributed to the minimum wage.
It's possible.
See, if you have to pay somebody more, if something costs more, people buy less of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with labor, but I didn't want to mention that. Let's see. Finally, now we got an AI. I'm into AI now that it's going to be shooting people that are stealing stuff. This is good. This is I don't understand how it works, but where do I aim it? This is the home security camera. Uses AI to, does it shoot anybody or just shoot porch pirates?
It's kind of cool. It's a Kickstarter program, so I don't know that it's really on the market, but it's something called Eve, and she will explain to you what she's able to do.
Thank you, Sherry. Here now is Eve.
Picture a man named Bob, a hardworking family man whose top priority is ensuring the safety of his loved ones. Despite having a home fortified with security systems, he found himself lacking a crucial element, the ability to actively deter intruders. And so, he created me. I'm Eve, an AI-powered robotic security system equipped with an integrated paintball launcher, face recognition, and sound dispatchers, which allows me to recognize intruders and stop them in their tracks. I am computed to examine my owner's property. Upon detecting unknown entities, I dispatch.
And I will even call an attorney that will sue you. I mean, come on. Come on. You're going to shoot at somebody, right? They get hit in the eye, and then even though they were breaking into your house, they're outside your home, same law applies. You put up a fence, somebody breaks into your house, they climb over your fence, your barbed wire fence or electric fence, and they're running up to your property. There's a hole that your dog has dug, they trip and fall in the hole and they break their ankle, they can then sue you, even though they were trespassing on your property. So this is somebody comes up to your house. This thing's going to know you through some
facial recognition
photo
that they've already figured out. They know
you are identified as a non-authorized personnel. You have 5 seconds to leave the property. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Zero compliance. Zero tolerance. Bob and I are tightly connected through his mobile phone app. Whenever I detect an intruder, I alert Bob about the situation. With a few taps on his screen, he can control my course of action and instantly add trusted faces to my database.
So he's like, play a different piano song underneath his Bob.
Granting them access to his property. At least I'll listen to you, if your children don't. With Paint Cam's innovative security system, Bob can focus on what matters.
Okay, all right, I'm done with her.
I know. I don't know if she mentioned it, but tear gas is also an option.
Nice.
In what state, in what country is this? You could never get away with this.
So I checked the Kickstarter just now. It hasn't even launched officially yet, so we don't know. This could all be a hoax. I don't know.
There was that thing in South Africa where people were stealing so many cars that this guy had come up with this thing that if you were going to steal a car, it had gigantic gas, like propane or some torch, giant fireballs would shoot out.
Remember this thing we showed?
Yeah, giant fireballs shot out from underneath the car, and they had like the mannequin standing there, and the whole thing just goes up in flames. And I think he had it on the market for like 6 months, and then somebody stepped. It's not kind of a good idea. Yeah, that's not going to work. People will sue you on this thing, right? And if you want to get a quick lawsuit, go up to the house that has this, have them shoot you, and then come back and say, "Oh, I have nightmares and backaches and stuff like that."
Emotional distress for years. Insomnia, yes. All of those things.
So here's more porch pirates going after people.
The joys of home ownership.
Boy, here we go. From long this must be our porch pirate
to
segment.
Setting up your own security system.
This one is the one that record the people stealing the package.
First-time Sacramento homeowner Omar Munoz is getting a crash course into the risks of package delivery.
I was at work, and I received the notification on my phone that I had a package. And when I got home, I didn't see the package.
Good thing he caught it all on camera.
You probably think you know where this is going, right? Porch pirates.
I do.
The kinds of people who conceal their identity and steal your stuff right off of your front doorstep. But I promise you, you have never seen anything quite like this.
We're doing radio. We can't see it.
Coming to my door.
Unreal. A porch pirate in a trash bag.
At first, I thought they were messing with me, but when I got home, I see no package. I look around, and I couldn't find the package, so I know somebody took it.
He says it wasn't a very expensive item.
No.
It must make you a little angry.
Okay.
Sherry, did you watch that one?
I did, I have a couple questions. So it seemed like it was closed
up. I'll answer
them
for you,
Closed up at the top. How did he manage that? I can see getting into the trash bag and doing the scoot or the hop or whatever, but how do you keep it from falling down and exposing you?
Well, it cinched
it up. Well, he kind of tied off at the top, so he entered it from the back or the bottom.
That actually makes sense. I'm thinking he got into the trash bag.
Let's just back up for a moment. The fact that you had to add to this. Have you been hit in the head with a paintball recently, Sherry, that not realize that?
Daily, yes. That's what. But no, that's what I thought. I could see him jumping into the trash bag and then trying to connect. Sorry.
It was a very convincing full trash bag, though.
Yeah,
it really is.
Maybe he's an accomplice. Maybe he's an accomplice that, he gets in and then, tie me off. To tie it off at the top.
Right. Could be a partner in crime.
Sure. I was learning so much about it.
Conspiracy, officially.
not a bad move. I'd give the guy credit. Did they catch him?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, there we go. Good.
But
see?
Fully disguised. Yeah, and he would be disguised to the neighbors, too, because they'd go, oh, look, there's just a trash bag.
A walking trash bag.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd
do it. Well, no, you'd have to, like, scoot a little bit, then stop.
Yeah.
And
right.
Wait, and then, like, scoot some more, thinking, like, people, like, you know, they'd have to do the thing where they rub their eyes, like in cartoons. Like, I think I just saw a trash bag moving. Yeah.
Right, but the eyeballs would shoot out, you know, like, boing.
Ooga.
We are very mature today. It's another one of those stories. How much time you spend on your phone, how many times you checked your phone. I guess the good news is it's gone down just a little bit from where it was, but still people spend, where they say they check their phone 144 times a day. And on average, people spend more than 4 hours, 4.5 hours on their phone. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
The latest numbers?
Yep. And it's a kind of a mental, psychological trick that your phone plays on you, because if it's next to you, you keep thinking, am I missing something? Or if it's out of, a lot of people get a lot of anxiety if the phone is just in another room, because they wonder, okay, what's going on? Have I missed a news alert? Have I missed a message? And so our attention span has gotten so short that we want to check. I think I probably check my phone more than 144 times a day.
What are you looking for? Love?
Always, yes. I don't know. I am sort of, a prisoner of it. I mean, I put my phone by the bed, and that's my alarm clock. So that's the first mistake. Is the first thing I do when I wake up is look at my phone and look at my emails and look at whatever. And I shouldn't do that, because then immediately you're in work mode or some kind of get up and go mode, because you're looking at all this stuff. So they say, you know, put the phone someplace else, or at least take a few minutes a day where you don't have the phone near you.
Yes. Okay. I did a little experiment when I flew from Seattle to New York the other day, JFK. I said, it's a 5 hour and 40 minute flight or something. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? Because I would go on, pay the $8 there to fly and get the Wi-Fi. I'm going to scroll Instagram for 5 hours and 40 minutes. Okay? I just sat there in a death scroll, just whoosh, 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 whoosh. It was the weirdest experience, because guess what? When the plane landed, I didn't want to get off the plane. I mean, I did. I was going to get off. But that 5 hours and 40 minutes went by so quickly. It distorts your concept of time in a really weird way, because the dopamine hits are coming. And then all of a sudden, it was like every third thing was a cat video. And I was like, how do I get out of this cat video thing? I don't know how to get out of it. I'm scrolling along, and then I would get these other things. But then it was like sending me just the same three things, some that weird Instagram guy's voice, you know, three things you need to know if you want to be, you know, a strong man. Someone asks you what time it is, just say, I know. And they say goodbye. Don't say goodbye. Say, I'll see you. It's like that guy's voice. So I'm watching all those things. But that 5 hours and 40 minutes, whoosh, flew right on by. That was really weird. Now, on the way home, I didn't do that because I was prepping for the show. So I was reading stories, and it felt like 5 minutes and 40 seconds, or how long
you
it
mean took 5 hours.
5 hours, yes. Whatever it was. You know, when Yahoo first started, remember you would just get those discs in the mail? You could put them in your thing to get on the internet. Yahoo needed money. So they were thinking it was going to be on your phone. They would charge you $1.90 a minute. So that means the average person spending 4 and some hours a day on the phone. At the end of the day, your phone bill would be $420 to be death scrolling through cat videos. But that, I'm telling you, it's something about it, and I don't know how you break away from it, but the sense that you're missing out on some sort of news. I'm hoping when I wrap up this illustrious radio career, Sherry, when we get to number one of the heavy hitters,
talkers.com,
the heavy 100. Yeah.
Nine manipulation tricks that will make you the master of control.
There's the guy's voice. That's it. Yeah.
I like him. He gives some pretty good.
Would you rather have him than me? Okay, go play more of it, Andrew. Go ahead. Sherry's all into this guy.
No, I think he's
to make
I
someone second
good.
Guess what? Themselves. Simply ask, "Are you sure about that?" Number two,
you sure about
if
that?
Someone tries to argue with you, stay calm and whisper your response. They'll have to quiet down to hear you. Number three, when someone says sorry to you, don't just say no problem. Say thank you and they won't do it again. Number four, if someone bullies you, laugh at them. They'll become embarrassed.
Okay, good. There's a whole story on that guy's voice, and now he's on everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah. You want to learn how to wash your dog? Put him in the water and then put soap on him. It's like, okay. Well, gee whiz, all right.
He's sort of the de facto expert, you know, especially
on everything, no matter what it is, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
How to eat corn on the cob.